Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
Daniel Midgley, good morning.
Good morning.
You give 120% not only to this program and this segment, but to your podcast, Talk the Talk.
Oh, thank you.
Which people should listen to after they've listened to you here this morning, because it's very good and it's very clever, like you.
There are lots of ways to listen to me.
Can you give 110%?
Why not?
But it's not possible.
Well, what if I
How do you get fuller than full?
What if I give 100%? Well, okay, so this is one of those things where it used to be thought of as binary, like you're either giving 110%, 100% or you're not. But then, you know, what if I wanted to take it to 11?
Yeah.
What if I just wanted to give that little bit more than I habitually think of as 110%? I was looking in the Google Ngram viewer, which is a way of looking at billions of books all at once. And it looks like the most common formulation is give 100%. You'll be pleased to know. That's what most people usually write in books. But creeping up is 110%, slightly much less popular, and then 150% less popular still. 101% doesn't seem to occur, because I guess, you know, if it's only 1% extra, more than
not
maximum,
worth it.
Yeah, why bother?
And that's kind of, I think people probably in their mind's eye jump straight to the Dalmatians.
Yes. Do you know what?
Is this a new site? So today you're talking about things. Sayings that have evolved?
We're looking at language evolution today. I'm a bit of a language evolutionist. I ran across an article by freelance writer Gary Nunn. Well, he writes for the ABC, the BBC, and others. He wrote about his confusion about his own language peeves, and he does this. He wrote that when he hears somebody say, he always gives 110%, he says, I find myself shouting at the speaker, 100%, I grumble. It's mathematically impossible to go higher. So you're not alone in this. But then he sort of looks at himself, and he says, what am I doing? Why am I getting so angry about this? So he talks about two different ways of approaching language. One, as a purist, like some sort of defender of language, which is kind of, language doesn't need defenders. Language is fine. Or you could be an evolutionist or an evolutionist. And I like that approach very much. He asked a whole bunch of linguistic people, but not me, Gary.
Oh, well, maybe he's not that good after all.
Maybe saving you.
Notice me, senpai. Notice me. If they had any language peeves. And I found the results really interesting, because some of the response said, oh, yeah, I kind of hate it when people say this. But the more people knew about linguistics, the less likely they were to have these little bugbears about them. And the more that you kind of think, if someone says something different, it's like, that's kind of cool. Oh, I wonder why they said that. Oh, I wonder why. Can I tell you a story? I've told the Capsicum story a bunch of times. Ordering pizza, Saturday night's pizza night at my place.
Mm.
On the phone with the pizza folks. And she said, I'll just read your order back. Fresh tomato, capsicum. Not capsicum, but capsicum.
Capsicum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I said, sorry, I didn't hear you. Could you say that again? And she said, because I wanted to see if she'd do it again. And she said, capsicum again. So I thought, that's interesting. The next week, I ordered pizza again. This time it was a fella, and he said capsicum.
Oh, well, you can't just change a word like that, though. That's just wrong.
But you must realize that error is an engine of language change.
So potentially in 100 years' time, we could be saying capsicum instead of capsicum.
Do you say capsicum? I want to hear from you. Call us. If you say something new or you catch yourself saying something interesting, I want to hear about it. But you know what? There's more to the story, because I went around to grocery stores, did an experiment, got people to say either capsicum or capsicum in natural conversation. And the capsicum to capsicum ratio was about 45-55.
No way.
These things are just lurking in our language, and it's happening. And it's cool. This is not bad.
Yeah. If it tips over, though, if it became 55-45, well, then you just give up and start.
The words changed.
That's it.
The words officially changed.
It's like Paula Kruger said a long time ago.
The cunts have won and the cums have lost.
She said if everyone keeps doing the wrong thing, it becomes the right thing. This is English we're talking about here.
We'd love to hear from you with your examples. 1-300-222-720. You can talk to Daniel or send a text.
Or as we like to call him, sorry, Daniel.
Daniel.
Daniel, 0437-922-720.
I want to know if you started saying something new recently. I've got one. I caught myself saying, so that's a whole thing. Like when there's a complex situation and I do something to stumble into a complex situation, you know, so I have to do this. So now that's a whole thing.
Right.
I don't know where I picked it up.
Do you have one?
Look, I've got, can I say, I've got a word, this is a bit different, but I've got a word that I use way too much.
Okay.
And I don't even know what it means or if it's real. But having avoided it for 50 years of my life, I've now said it, I think, 2,000 times in the last 8 months. And that's wheelhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And I say, something is in my wheelhouse.
What is a wheelhouse?
And I will spell it for you, but I've never seen it written, I don't think. Wheelhouse, one word.
It's a wheel not plus a hyphen, house. Well, I can tell you what a wheelhouse is.
What is it?
Well, on a ship, you know how you got a wheel that you use to steer the ship around?
Yes.
Well, you're not always on the deck standing there out in the open. Sometimes there's a little, like, enclosure around you.
Right.
A house. That's the wheelhouse.
Is that really what it is?
That's what it is. So if you're at the wheel, you're in control, right? So when you're saying, this is in my wheelhouse, you're saying, this is something that I have control over. This is something I know about. This is my area. It's also a baseball metaphor. The wheelhouse, see, because meaning jumps, right? Meaning spreads. So it used to be that little house on a ship, but then it extended to the area when you're playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
If the pitcher sends that ball right over a certain zone where you know you can crack it out of the park,
mm-hmm.
that's called the wheelhouse too. And then it extended again, meaning any situation where I can control it. So, you know, don't fight it. It's going to happen. You'll find yourself doing these things. Nadia, do you have a thing that you say a lot or something new that you've noticed yourself saying?
You picked me up on something the other day. I can't say it, I don't think. On the radio.
Can I nurse you through it?
Yeah.
Oh, this is funny. This is funny.
It's actually embarrassing.
This is, no, I'll this is then. Hilarious. So, because I thought Nadia was being funny and had taken an expression and changed it. She had Nadia-ized it.
Nice.
But it turns out this is just Nadia thinking this is what the expression has always been.
Right.
So, the expression is, and it does involve a swear word, but it's the easiest one in the world. It starts with sh.
Okay.
It smells like poo.
Yep.
And so the expression is no Sherlock.
Oh, right.
Right? It's a great expression. You know, I love it when people say, but we were in a meeting and Nadia went, no Sheila. No Sheila.
It could be Sheila, said, just as well as Sherlock.
And I waited about half an hour. Until the meeting finished, I said, just to be clear, a little while ago you said, no, Sheila.
Yeah.
Did you mean that? And she goes, yeah, that's the expression.
That's what I say. I said, no, it's not. It's Sherlock. I went, oh, I get it now. I don't know who Sheila is. Don't know what she ever did.
I've heard about Sheila a lot around here. She's kind of, you know, she's just kind of ubiquitous among women.
Well, Sheila's got a lot to answer for.
Well, that's one to watch out for.
Well, yeah. Vicky says her family has always said capsicum.
Yep.
Really?
Let's go to Michael. Okay.
Hello, Michael.
Cool.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Good.
Daniel, you got me intrigued. An old question that I've often wondered about. How many countries say capsicum as opposed to pepper? Do you know what the spread is in the English-speaking world?
I think probably the only one where they actually say pepper is probably the U.S. / Canada, kind of the North Americans. What do they say in the U.K.? Is it a...
No, I think it's...
I need to...
Gosh, I was there recently.
We're the only ones.
I don't know. Do they say peppers? I don't know. Michael, do you know?
Yeah, Britain says peppers, and I think India says capsicums. I was talking to some Indian friends, and they say capsicum, but that's the only ones I know of. I don't know what the split is.
Wow. Okay, could be an Australia, New Zealand sort of South Hemisphere thing. That's really interesting. I think we need to study this.
Mm-hmm.
Marnie wants to talk about capsicums, and if you want to talk to Daniel, 1-300-222-720 is the number.
Thanks, Michael, for calling. Hello.
Hey, Marnie.
Marnie. Hi, Marnie.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Great.
Good.
So I'm just calling because I'm actually guilty of saying capsicum instead of capsicum.
You're not guilty.
I have been actively working on trying to say the correct way of saying capsicum. But, yeah, it was a few years ago that I was doing a chemistry assignment and I was researching the vitamin C content of different vegetables and the methods of cooking and how that affected the vitamin C content. And so I was writing up my chemistry report and was writing about capsicum and... word kept underlining capsicum. And I turned to my chemistry partner and I was like, Annabelle, Why does it keep underlining capsicum? Marnie, you're spelling it wrong. Capsicum.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Marnie, but try to think of yourself not as somebody who's committing a wrong. Think of yourself as ahead of a curve.
Yeah.
All right.
You're an evolutionist, and you're we will be calling you up for advice before long. Can I ask you? You said vitamin C. Did you ever say vitamin C? Or have you always said vitamin?
I'm not sure.
I've always said vitamin, but on the point that you just made, Mark, he's nailed it. If language evolves and doesn't need defending, does that mean today's illiterates are actually futurists?
Well, I don't see much advantage in not being able to read or spell. So the trick is, and this is life advice, be a good noticer. Notice what people around you are doing. And try not to get too hung up if language differs, because it's very normal for language to be different for different people.
I've got one.
It's constantly evolving.
Yeah.
Can I buy time or do I bide time?
Okay. Well, if we do a little search for that in one of my favorite resources, the Google Ngram Viewer, which is a way to search hundreds of books over millions of years, reverse it. If you look up buying time and biding time, biding time is much more common in books, but starting in the 20th century, we start seeing buying time. So I think that, and there are lots of little pairs like this, you know, do you pour over a book, P-O-U-R, or do you pour over a book, P-O-R-E? I think we can all think of this.
Mull and mull. I mean, I'm a stickler. I hate to use this expression right now, but if you say she's a mole.
Do you want to look at me when you say
that? I don't want to look at you. I actually don't want the fight.
Do you mean M-O-double-L, like a gangster?
Yeah, like a mole cricket.
Yeah, but she's mole. She's like a...
That's an M-O-L-E.
No, mole is the spot on your face.
I'm confused now.
You don't know that answer.
That's a different one for me.
Oh, I'm going to leave that with you.
I wasn't ready for that one.
No. Oh. That is a curveball.
What about Peter says, I've heard the term pulling the goalie. What's that? And that was on a TV show, Suits, that Meghan Markle used to be on.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Pulling the goalie?
Pulling the goalie. Do you want to take that as a question on notice?
I think I might just have a look at that. Well, it's removing the goaltender for an extra attacker. So you're pulling the goalie, you're taking them out of the scene. And but I don't know much about sports. The sports things and the nautical things, that's where I really fall down. I knew wheelhouse, but that was the only one.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess it means that if you're going to throw everything into the attack.
Is that what it is?
I guess so. 4 minutes to seven.
Tenter hook.
Mm. Originally tenter hooks. It actually comes from Latin tent, a word meaning to pull. So it's the hooks that you use to pull something. So you're being stretched, you're being overextended. But, of course, people hear things differently, and so pretty soon you're on tender hooks, and that one is coming up. There's a word for these, by the way. They're called egg corns. Not acorns, but egg corns.
Daniel Midgley is our guest this morning on Speakeasy. Charlie's got a question for you. Morning, Charlie.
Good morning, guys. Daniel, I'm just wondering, one thing I've heard recently is people saying to orient themselves or orientate themselves, or whether they're disoriented or disorientated. And I was wondering if you could tell me which one's the correct one.
Oh, I love that. Can I go first for a second?
Go ahead, Russell.
The wonderful Earl Reeve, a lecturer of mine who I adore, sat us down in one of our first classes when we studied broadcasting. He said, this is the right way to say it. It's orientate.
Really?
Yes.
That was not what I was expecting.
Yeah. So I just want to put that out there and say that since that lesson, that's how I've done it.
Well, when I was younger, I noticed that I was saying orientate, and I thought, oh, yeah, maybe I should say orient, because if you say orientate, then you're adding an extra syllable, and we should never, ever, ever do that, because language must always be maximally efficient, because we are robots. So then I noticed something. There was the word jeopardize?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds normal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, back 200 years ago, people used to complain about jeopardize because it had that extra I's syllable.
Mm.
They used to say jeopard. Really? Do you want to? You're not going to jeopard my chances, are you?
Really?
Really?
I love that.
So sometimes we, you know, you wouldn't jeopard orientate, would you? So from that, I realized that it's okay to throw in something a little bit extra. It's not a problem. It's just variation. So I trained myself when I was younger to say orient. Now I'm training myself to say orientate.
There we go. Thank you, Elle Reddy.
And there's another great text. Once upon a time, kids used to eat play lunch. Now they eat recess.
Okay.
That's true, though.
Who said that?
Oh, that was some clever text. Put your names on the text because we love to mention who it is that's sending in this great information.
I've heard children at school say East Perth is versing West Perth.
Oh, versing.
Versing.
Yeah.
Love it.
Hate it. We've talked about this before. Right. I hate it. And even the teachers at my son's school are using, like, it's not a word.
Mm. Okay, well, now when you feel that feeling, I want you to recognize that feeling, and then I want you to calm yourself and say, what I'm seeing is language change. And that's interesting.
I can't cope with it.